The Bible reading today is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. So Philip teaches an Ethiopian. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. The angel said,
"Get ready and go south. Go to the road that leads down to Gaza from Jerusalem, the desert road."
So Philip got ready and went. On the road, he saw a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch. He was an important officer in the service of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was responsible for taking care of all her money. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was on his way home. He was sitting in his chariot and reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip,
"Go to that chariot and stay near it."
So Philip ran towards the chariot. He heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked,
"Do you understand what you're reading?"
He answered,
"How can I understand? I need someone to explain it to me."
Then he invited Philip to climb in and sit with him. The verse of the scripture that he was reading was this:
"He was like a sheep being led to be killed. He was quiet as a sheep is quiet while its wool is being cut. He said nothing. He was shamed and was treated unfairly. He died without children to continue his family. His life on earth has ended."
The officer said to Philip,
"Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else?"
Philip began to speak. He started with this same scripture and told the man the good news about Jesus. While they were travelling down the road, they came to some water. The officer said,
"Look, here is water. What's stopping me from being baptised?"
Philip answered,
"If you believe with all your heart, you can."
The officer said,
"I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Then the officer commanded the chariot to stop. Both Philip and the officer went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. The officer never saw him again. The officer continued on his way home, full of joy. But Philip appeared in a town called Azotus and preached the good news in all the towns on the way from Azotus to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Really lovely to see you all here. Thank you, Karen and Matthew. Well, my name is Sue Jackson, and I've had the privilege of being the children's worker here, for those that don't know me, and also I work for the Riverbank Trust, and it's a privilege to do that and also to speak this morning on this passage. But before we do anything else, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And I pray it's your voice above mine that will be heard, and you will use this time to pour your love out by your Holy Spirit into each one here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been reminded this morning of, can anyone remember? Noah? Jonah, Peter, and who else? There was one more. Moses, that's right. They were put into places by God that they might not necessarily have anticipated. I just love the fact that Jonah really didn't want to do. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, but he did try and get away. He didn't want to be there, but God helped him, and what he did was good. They found themselves in places or situations that they hadn't anticipated and didn't want to be at. Well, then we come to our passage this morning. And there are two words, as I was preparing for this, that really struck out at me. The first word is calling. in our passage, Philip recognized God's call to leave Samaria. He listened to the prompting of God's Spirit. Can anyone remember in the passage who it was, who God used? God used an angel to tell Philip to leave a place where he was actually really successful. He was like a J-John. He was an evangelist. He was speaking to lots of people. He was telling them how much Jesus loves them. But he recognized God's call to leave. And then he sent him to a dusty road, from speaking to lots of people about Jesus to a dusty road. He might not have wanted to have been there. And now he had to approach a very important person, the man from Ethiopia. And what I really love when I read this is one word. Philip ran to this man. He ran towards him. And that really challenged me. When I see a need, do I run towards it? Or do I go, yeah, not me? Yeah, I can't pray as well as that person. Me? No, I'm just not good enough to do that. But Philip ran towards this man. It challenged me so much. Am I being Philip to a neighbor and I'm running towards them if I see a need? But also, when we look at this man from Ethiopia, he was also in a place that he hadn't anticipated being in. This man had been excluded from worshiping God. Can you imagine coming here this morning and being told, no, you can't come in? He wasn't allowed in because of Jewish tradition. But he knew God, he'd heard about God, and so he wanted to go somewhere where he could, and he was going to Jerusalem. And there he was on his own, looking at the book of Isaiah, going, I don't quite understand this, but God saw him, he saw him, and he sent him Philip. And then Philip starts to explain, of course, as we read, that this passage is talking about the prophecy that there was going to be a saviour. It's Jesus, and it's like a mini alpha course, really, going on there. And then again, as we see a bit later on, the Spirit prompted, and there was a subsequent baptism. And this takes me to our second point, promises. I'd love you to do that sign, promises. So we're thinking about God promises to help us. Should we do that together? God promises to help us. Promises. Throughout Scripture, we see that in Genesis, for example, God promises to bless Abraham and through his descendants, the whole world. In Deuteronomy, God promises that if we search for him, we will find him. Again, in Deuteronomy, God promises that if we search for him, he is there. Our God is near whenever we pray to him. And particularly after this week, I've been reflecting on 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4. God promises to comfort us in our trials. One of the many promises to know and remember that he is near. And then again in 2 Corinthians, God promises new life in Christ. So Philip acted. God gave him courage to talk to the very important man. Now, this very important man was actually the equivalent of like the Chancellor of the Exchequer. He dealt with lots of money, so it might have taken Philip a bit of courage to go up to him. And this man was reading out loud the promise of a saviour, but at that point just didn't understand it. And when Philip explained the good news of Jesus, at the first opportunity, he wanted to be baptized. And then I couldn't help but reflecting on last Sunday. It's lovely to see Liga here, and who else was baptized? Maddie, baptized last Sunday, not in here, for those of you that weren't here, because our pool had a leak, but out there. And what a great witness this was. People were walking past going, what? What's going on there? This is intriguing. People going into a pool. And we had our people confirmed, our young people confirmed. And it takes bravery to publicly declare that I am going to follow Christ all the days of my life. And they've spoke movingly of knowing how Jesus is with them in all circumstances. So right now, I need some help. I wonder who... Yes, to come up, Zach. And yes, Jolie. Yes, can I have Karis? And one more. Yes, do you come up here? Now, we might say, but I'm just one person. How can I make an impact? How can I tell people about Jesus? I'm just one person. I'm not like a Philip that speaks to hundreds of people. Let's just imagine. On day one, can you be the one person that tells somebody Jesus loves them? Okay, see this? Jesus loves them. That's day one. On day two, if that person then tells two people that Jesus loves them, we've got two people. If those two people, the following day, each tell another two people, how many will have heard that message that Jesus loves them? Four. Hold that up. Okay, can you all see? Four. Four people have now heard. And then if one person, each of these people, then tells another four people each, one each, that Jesus loves them. Can we count? How many? Can you have your arms wide enough? Shall we count how many? There's one more there. How many people have heard that message? Eight. If we tell them again, it's 16. One person speaks to one each. So if you hold those up, I'm going to ask a question. How many days would it take to tell everyone in this country that Jesus loves them? How many days would it take for that message? Some of the younger ones, do you want to guess how many days it would take? Any guesses? Any guesses? You're doing your maths. 300 days, I've got a guess here. Anyone else? I can see Ben's doing a mathematic equation there. You are, in fact, right, but...
1 million.
1 million? Well, that's a good... Yes, I think... One day? How many days would it reach if we keep telling that message to each people, remembering there are 64 million people thereabouts in this country? We've had a few guesses. Have you worked it out? Tristan's worked it out, maybe. Okay, let's have a look. Day three, four people. Day four, eight people. Day five, 16 people. Day six, 32 people. Day 764, people have heard that message that Jesus loves them. Wow. Day 8, 128 people. Day 9, 256 people. Day 9, 512 people. That's amazing. Day 10, 1,024 people. Are we satisfied? No, no. Let's go. Day 11, 2,048. Day 12, 4,096. Keep going. Day 14. Day 15, 32,000. Are we satisfied that everyone's... No, no. People need to know that Jesus loves them. Day 17. Day 18, 262,000. Wow. Day 19, 524,000 people have heard the message. Okay, we've reached 1,000,000. Day 20. Day 21, 2,000,000. Wow. Are we satisfied? No, no. 22. I know, these are big numbers. 4,000,000 people. 16,777,000 people have heard that message that Jesus loves them. Are we satisfied? No. Day 25, 33,554,432 people have heard that Jesus loves them because one person told someone else. Day 26. Anyone? Okay, let's see.
The whole country.
Let's see. Are we stuck? Oh, 67,108,864 people will have heard that message that Jesus loves them. I find that astonishing, don't you? That all it started with one person. We can make a difference. Thank you very much. Thank you. Sit down. Awesome, thank you. You can take them with you if you want. Okay. That will take us to the 22nd of June, by the way. And it got me to wondering. I wonder what it would look like. You can have those. I wonder what it would look like to have each of those 67 million people praying for our children, praying for our young people. What would it look like? Praying for our communities, our country, our world. Praying for healing. We can all recognize God's call to share the good news, to bring his light into the dark places. And as we know this week, there have been some dark places. And that's for the very youngest, which we'll hear a little bit about in a minute, to the oldest. And I'm not looking at you particularly, Trevor, when I said that. Sorry, I just, I'm older than you, I'm just joking. It's okay. It's for each one of us. Moses said in Exodus 4 verse 10, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue." And what does God say? He promises in verse 12, "Now go, Moses, I will help you to speak, and I will teach you what to say." God promises to help us when he calls us. And when do we get called? Well, I think the need is the call. The need is the call. When we know and we love Jesus, the need is the call. Whether it's praying for somebody, making a meal, befriending at Riverbank, coming alongside a friend at school who may be having a difficult time, getting the courage to ask a friend along to church or to Alpha, you may be told, no, thank you. But God gives us the courage to keep persevering. When making a decision about what school, what college, what university, what's the next step? God, along with other people, can help with that decision making. We can trust God to help us with that decision making. Finally, I recently felt, when I was out in a school, God say to me, tell that person that's going to open the door for you that her smile lights up the room. I hesitated. Am I really going to say that to somebody? The door was opened, and I said it. And I could see her eyes well up with tears, but all she said was, thank you. Nothing else. So I left it at that. The following week, when I saw her, she told me she was so overwhelmed with hearing those words, because they'd only been spoken once to her, and when she was about 5 years old, I guess she might be my age now. And it reminded her of a time where she was so happy. I think there may be some difficulties. And only God would know that those few words would impact her deeply. And I hope one day, because of that first introduction, to tell her of a Saviour that loves her, a Saviour that sees her in the crowd, of a Father that knows her and is her help. He loves her like no other. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone that loves and follows Jesus. And I'm talking to myself. I need to come to him each day. Sometimes it's moment by moment. Sometimes I come here or I go out shopping and I see somebody and I ask the Lord, shall I speak to somebody? I'm a work in progress. I'm talking to myself here this morning as well. And the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And it's freely given to each one of us because he loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that even when we are in places where we may not want to be, or we need help, you have promised to be our help. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our shepherd and that you guide us and you bend your ear to hear our prayers. Amen.